AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a big double header for Scotland. It's Croatia first up tomorrow, with Steve Clarke's having sleepless nights about who to pick. The national team manager has also waded in on the youth development debate, saying something needs to be done to get young players more game time. And Scott McTominay brings his impressive Napoli form to Hampden and believes there is more to come from the national squad. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Ross McCormack and Gordon DL. How are you both?
Looking forward to the international break, Gordon. Two really important games coming up. Two games that I think began with a bit of confidence. I thought we had a terrific performance against Portugal. It's just getting over the line. It's getting the 3 points. We can manage that tomorrow night. It's got to be difficult. And as you said at the top of your show there, Steve Clarke has got headaches. He's got one or two big hitters back. You look at the performance of the starting 11 against Portugal, it was very, very good. One, for instance, and I don't think he's Scotland's the fans' biggest favourite, is Kenny McLean, who I thought was terrific. But John McGinn obviously comes back into the fold in the middle of the park. So he's got one or two headaches here. Obviously Adams is out. It's who will play up front. Obviously you look at Shanklin just now, his confidence isn't the greatest because his goal scoring return. Dykes is always a threat. But it's two games that we are capable of winning, but we'll need to be at our best.
I think he's trying to impress you, Ross McCormack. He's gone straight in with like detailed analysis, talking points.
He usually
gives me a bit more of his nonsense at the start of the show. How are you? Good
to have
you back.
I'm good. Delighted to be here. Just what he said there, though, I think he's spot on. You know, it's two games that Scotland can win, but for me personally, I don't really. These two games won't be about performance for me. It's about getting the results on the board. And hopefully stay at this level of the Nations League, because that's essentially where everyone wants to be. We've moaned for so long, and then we get there.
That's too hard.
we want to stay there. That's especially when we've got young boys coming through as well. That's going to develop them even more.
Come on then, 0141-951-1025. That is the number that you need. So give us a call. We are on the eve of the Scotland game against Croatia. We've not even really given it a great detailed build up this week, so I think now would be an appropriate time to do so. If Steve Clarke is having sleepless nights about the team, who would you pick? Because as Gordon says, on paper John McGinn plays every day of the week. How good was Kenny McLean against Portugal? Did they both play? Scott McTominay's going to play. He's top of Serie A along with Billy Gilmore. So how does that area look? Who plays in there and who leads the line? Because clearly it's an area that is a bit of a difficult one. It's either Lawrence Shankland, who's having a difficult time in front of goal at Hearts. It's Lyndon Dykes, who's been there and done it, but plays League One football. Or it's maybe a nod to the future, Tommy Conway playing in the Championship for Middlesbrough. Those are the options, unless you've got something else up your sleeve. So give us all the solutions then. We're all quick enough to criticise, quick enough to pick out where it's going wrong. What should that team look like tomorrow? And are you optimistic or not? Remember, defeat tomorrow. If Poland gets something at Portugal, that is it. Relegation from League A confirmed. However, two wins, as tough as it's going to be, there is still a chance Scotland could finish second in that group. So give us a call on 0141-951-1025. And know this might be hard to believe, but I'm not that daft. I know lots of you aren't that bothered about the international break. That's the way it works. So if you would rather come and talk club football, we're here for you as well. Absolutely no problem. You want to talk about where your team is up to this point, something that's caught your eye. We've even been talking about signing targets and plastic pitches and all sorts in the last couple of days. Give us your thoughts there. And another one that I know people always feel really passionately about, and it becomes an even bigger deal when the national team manager wades in on it today. Those stats from the weekend, hardly any young players getting game time in the Scottish Premiership. Why is that? What can be done? and what needs to be done. Steve Clark's had his say today, but I wonder about your theories, your solutions. Be interesting to hear from Ross, who of course came through at Rangers, and Gordon a bit before him. Get all your thoughts into us on 0141 951 1025. And don't forget Gordon DL.
Yes, a big night.
I've saved the best until last. Now, it's not that we're not delighted to have Ross McCormick here. We are. But your usual Thursday night partner in crime, Mark Wilson, is playing in the Masters up in Aberdeen. He played in it last season for Celtic and they won it, and yet he's been papped out to Dundee United, which tells its own story.
Yeah.
Our other colleague Simon Donnelly's in there.
Is Chai playing?
He's playing
as well?
For Celtic. He's nearly the same age as you and he's still playing. So you need to have a wee look.
Hey, you're not getting invited, mate.
No, not good enough, mate.
Next year. We'll get you in.
How's that? What, you've got to be a certain age?
No, we'll just get you in.
No.
I think we can.
No,
I'll need to start training now.
The training starts now.
Well, I've got Wilson down as probably playing 7-8 minutes.
So
with his knees.
If you
he's up there for envelope, let's be honest about it.
If you want to watch us watching Mark Wilson on the telly and hearing Gordon DL's unique take on how he's performing, we'll do that a bit later on as well. On a slightly more serious note, a lot of big names up there, and we'll be checking in at the P&G Arena in Aberdeen and hearing from some of them. But you're not going to want to miss that. You've heard the stick these two give each other every Thursday. Well, Mark Wilson's going to actually be playing on TV and we are going to be able to critique it in live time. This is like Christmas Eve for you, Gordon DL.
I've waited for this day for weeks and weeks now, since he broke the news that he get papped out of Celtic, because obviously they're going with a strong squad, and he got to sell into a Dundee United weaker squad. He's always talking about his medal. He's always talking about how he's won it. He's absolutely no chance. I'm telling you now, he's away up there with a dodgy knee. He wouldn't even pass a medical. That's how bad he is.
Because you always say you can't even remember him playing. You know nothing about his career. So
yeah,
Ross will be good for you to actually see him in action.
Yeah, Ross. Well, I've seen him on TV, right? And I seen him in the Masters last week. And Ross will verify this. He runs about and makes himself look busy. Right. That's what he does.
He started already. The poor guy's not even out the tunnel yet.
If you watch him, he never gets involved in the play, right? But he runs about. Yeah. He's one of these guys that you think, oh, see, running stats.
You get them players in every team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he will run away for the ball. He doesn't take the ball. He doesn't get involved. And then he takes all the glory from other players. And he's got good players around him last year with Celtic, because they were...
Just gave the ball to Gary Hooper and let him score.
Gary Hooper scored all the goals.
Guys, in his mid-30s.
Now he's got John Daly and... who's a big...
Gary Kenneth, his defensive partner.
So he's only guy I know at 5-a-size, Willow. He tries to get to the byline and whip balls there.
And this will be good, because these guys are all your era, Ross. I'm thinking Gary Kenneth, Mark Wilson... Barry Ferguson's playing, Pedro Mendes a bit after your time. There's a few in there.
Big Charlie, that Big beautiful
Charlie's
left
playing.
Foot. Boydie's playing. Oh yeah. They built a wee bit extra round about the side for Boydie.
He'll be shooting from the car park, I reckon. Eh? Anyway, that's what you've got to look forward to, if that's the right phrase. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. Is it Scotland? Is it domestic stuff? Is it something a bit different? Do you want to get your thoughts in early about the Masters, if you're that way inclined? Listen, we will take anything. See, when it's the international break, Ross, you'll watch any football, won't you, to try and give you that fix. What have you made of the domestic season up until this point?
I thought it's been quite exciting, to be honest. I was interested in what you were talking about there with the younger boys getting games and stuff, but you can't have it both ways. You've probably got one of the best players in the country right now playing every week for Motherwell, and he's not in the Scotland squad, so what difference does it make? But like you said, you watch any football, I'll be tuned into most of the games that are on this weekend, seeing what's happening, and essentially the important two are the Scotland games, because you watch stay at this level.
Let's hope we can do the business. Steve Clark says the team selection is giving him sleepless nights because he's got a number of key players back from injury.
It's great. I haven't slept this week because you've got so many permutations going through your head. It's brilliant. So, no, good choices again. We've shown we can be competitive at this level. We have to find the extra little details that turn these performances into results. We've shown that we can be competitive at this level, which is what we want to do. And then when you go into our next qualifying campaign as a World Cup qualifying campaign, you know that when you play against the pot one teams, you can be competitive against them. That's what we have to aim for. It is the most important thing we need. We need to, like we've said before, we've spoke about it for the last couple of camps, last couple of press conferences. Turn the performances into points. That's what we need to do.
Easier said than done. What does Simon in London think about that? Take it away, Simon.
Hi guys, hope you're all doing well.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, so travelling up for the game tomorrow. I've got a point in the Scotland game and then a wee bit on the plastic pitch debate from last night, if you don't mind. the Scotland game, this is a team I hope to play, if you don't mind me going through it. I hope we go with Craig Gordon in goals, obviously. I think he's going to play. I'd like to see Nicky Devlin come in at right back. I think he's playing every week for the team that are top in the league. Ralston's not really getting a look in. Ralston's fine, but limited. I think Nicky Devlin's a better right back, so I think he should play. Hendry, McKenna and Robertson make up the back four. I'd like to see the midfield three be Gilmore, McTominay and Kenny McLean, with Doak off one wing, McGinn off the other and Dykes up front. So I wonder what he's all make of that.
So that's like pretty much, that's Ryan Christie kind of dropping out from the midfield from last time then, and then Dykes just naturally taking Shea Adams' spot, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, go. Is that your fancy?
Simon, sorry, who did you have the centre of defence?
Hendry, McKenna.
Hendry and McKenna. Yeah, well, there's a couple of things there I would disagree, right? I take on board your point with Devlin. I think Devlin's been superb this season for Aberdeen. But Ralston, the Scotland strip, hasn't really let the country down. And against, I thought he played well, right? I think John Souter probably had his best performances in the Scotland the last international break. So I would probably look at keeping Souter in there. I take on board that I think Henry could be a big one, but does he drop Hanley? McLean, I thought, was very good indeed, and Gilmore. You're talking about young players at the top of the show. I think, obviously, like everybody else, McGinn will come straight back into that team. He might sacrifice a young player. He might go with Christy McTominay and McGinn and stick.
And then Doak becomes your impact
player. Okay. Yeah, I don't know, but you hear Steve Clark there saying, "Oh, it's sleepless nights because I've got so much to pick from," and I totally understand that because he has got big decisions to make.
I'm actually going to ask Simon, is that where it does become difficult, Simon? Because everybody said that the Portugal game, which of course was it's a month ago tomorrow. In fact, it'll be exactly a month on. What a brilliant defensive performance. A clean sheet against Ronaldo and his pals. The defence was brilliant. You just need to add the next bit. And yet you're dropping three of the back four. Is that what it becomes difficult for, Steve Clark?
Yeah, definitely. Like, the performance was excellent. I do feel like on another day, you know, one of those pot shots from Ronaldo goes in the back of the net and the whole game plan's up in smoke. But the defence did play well, and obviously you can't really talk about hypotheticals. What happened. But I personally think that we need to go with our best available players. I think going forward, as good as Souter was in those last games, I feel like Hendry's a better player. Souter's had an okay start to season at Rangers. I thought he was rotten when he played against Kilmarnock at Rugby Park, but I feel like Hendry and McKenna are going to be the centre-backs going forward if we stick to the four. So I really don't see, obviously until Tierney's back, but obviously I don't see Souter being up there with him. And Grant Hanley, you know, I do like Grant Hanley. I think he's unfairly targeted by a lot of Scotland fans, and he does have a lot of pace, which again people don't really give him credit for. But, you know, is he the one? Do you play him barely playing for Norwich ahead of a guy playing in La Liga? You know, it's a really tough decision. But I think personally, I think Hendry and McKenna are better defenders, and going forward they will be our defenders going forward.
Ross, what's that like? I mean, you've been there. How difficult is it to strike the balance between what guys are doing and week to week at a club, but then what they've done before for Scotland? And by the way, look, a month ago, as we said, that would, I don't disagree with the logic, because McKenna's done well and so has Jack Hendry. But if you're Grant Hanley and John Souter, you think, it was a month ago we kept a clean sheet against Portugal. What would you do? What would you put more weight on, what they did in the previous Scotland performance, of what they've done in the 3 or 4 weeks since?
I'd probably look at what they've done in the previous Scotland performances. I think Souter's probably the one. If he's left out, he's probably going to be a bit more disappointed. I think he's been good this season. I thought he was terrific for Scotland. Now, we're not talking about bringing him in for a guy who played in the Liga, but there's a guy who plays in Saudi Arabia, and for all the stick players get for moving there because the league's not great, then that's probably the one that Steve Clark might look at taking out to have Souter and McKenna there. But I think there's an argument to go to a back three. I think with the athleticism and the fitness that Nicky Devlin's got on the right, you've got Robertson on the left, and that way you can get three in them or four.
Yeah,
maybe McGinn on the right.
You get the feeling you get the feeling the three's there for Kieran Tierney, isn't it? And then it becomes a nice reason to try the four when he's
I think he'll stick with the four, right? I really do, because see if he come off a clean sheet against Portugal, and you can argue Ronaldo, as people say, he's past it, but Ronaldo's still a very world-class player. But Portugal have got other players that can hurt you as well. You've got a clean sheet. The back four's played well. If he comes away from that and with no Tierney and he goes to a back three and he loses the game and he loses goals, he'll come in for so much criticism. That, no doubt. So I would be very surprised that if he doesn't stick to that back four. And I think the back four is a way forward for him.
The Anthony Ralston, Nicky Devlin one, Gordon, since Scotland played against Portugal, and you're right, Anthony Ralston played and played well. People have in their heads, though, because Nicky Devlin came on, it was for a very short period of time, but he had that brilliant block. And it really, and what a great story it was. We're talking about a guy that was let go by Stenhouse Muir, and he's coming on and, you know, helping keep it, get over the line for a clean sheet. Since that game, he played 57 minutes against Dundee, and then the last 17 minutes against Kilmarnock for Celtic. Again, so we're back to it. He's got that small but body of work for Scotland. Steve Clarke kind of knows a bit more of what he can do than Nicky Devlin. But Nicky Devlin's then playing every week, thriving every week. Well, had a tough night at Hampden, I think, but Dyson Maeda can do that to you. But I think he's the current player of the month in the Scottish Premiership. How tough's that one?
That's the one he's probably having a sleepless night about, because that's a difficult one.
I think the midfield.
Well, I think McGinn will come in. I think the easiest one for Stevie Clarke is to probably leave out Doak, because I think that Kenny McLean would be feeling really disappointed if he was left out. Look, he's been to every squad. He usually comes off the bench. He was given his opportunity at Hampden. He's not the greatest fan's favourite, as I said earlier, but I thought he was excellent. I really did. I thought he was excellent, Gordon. So I think he deserves to stay in the team. So he might go with McGinn instead of Young Doak. I think Young Doak's been brilliant as well, coming into the international scene. Young player, energy, pace, everything about him, fearless. So there's a couple of big decisions there. Devlin and Ralston is... I'm split between it, because I think Devlin's been brilliant, right? And I think everybody would agree with that. But Ralston has not really let Scotland down. I know that people will shout, well, what about the Euros with the back bar? After that, he recovered and played very well. Against Portugal, he fit it in there and played very well. Steve Clarke might just look at, right, OK, Devlin's playing all the club football, but international football's different, and Ralston just now looks probably the more comfortable, because Devlin,
loads of Devlin though.
That's what I was going to say, because Devlin's not really been tried and tested at that level.
It also is what it is, because it's now been out so long you almost forget about it. Aaron Hickey's injured, Nathan Patterson's injured, and that's just, you've just got to deal with the cards that you're dealt. The Ben Doak one, Simon, everyone's been really desperate to see him, and actually since the last game he's then playing more. So all this stuff about, you know, he doesn't play a lot of first team football, that's now diminishing, because he is playing first team football. Gordon wants to see him more as an impact player. Could you stomach that?
I think that'd be a mistake. To be honest, like, I don't watch much of the English Championship, but you hear about him, you watch the highlights and watch the clips from him playing at Middlesbrough. He's playing incredibly. Like, he's on the top of his form at the moment. He's playing with full confidence. I think he was the dazzler there was saying about Steve Clarke, you know, he might be, you know, it's an easier decision to make. I think that's a really tough decision to make, because we know there's a element of Scotland fans that don't want Steve Clarke to be there. We know there's an element of Scotland fans that call for change and want something different. And I think if he brings out Doak, especially considering how well he played over against Croatia over there, I think if he brings Doak out, that instantly a percentage of the fans will be on his back. And I think they'll be like, well, why is Ben Doak not playing? I personally think he's the best option to play off that right. He gives us that pace. If we go with Ralston, he's not the fastest of defenders. You need to have somebody on the right to counteract that. If you're going to play John McGinn again, he's not the fastest, neither is Ryan Christie. You need to have a bit of pace there, because Devlin, though, if you play Devlin, he's got more pace. So maybe then you can sacrifice Doak, but I just feel on that right side, especially with some of the players in Croatia have got, I think you need to have a bit, wee bit more
patience. Simon, you put up a good argument, but are you leaving out Kenny McLean to bring in McGinn? Is that what you said?
No. Kenny McLean plays in the midfield three with Gilmore and McTominay for me, and McGinn plays off one flank and
Doak off the other.
So you're leaving out Christie?
Yeah, I really love Ryan Christie. I think he's excellent. I don't think he's ever let Scotland down, but I feel like for this game, you need a bit more pace on the right, especially if you're going to go with Alston. Okay.
Where are you on Ben Doak, Ross? Because he's so clearly different to the rest, and he does have something that they don't. Not to say he's better, far from it, but just, you know, it's different.
Yeah, he's different, but what I will say there is Simon said he's not seen him play very much. He's seen clips of him and stuff. If I was Simon, I wouldn't be looking too much into that. I think YouTube can make anyone a player. Think back to Freddie Adu, Karamoko, Dembele, people like that. Where are they now? But by all accounts, he's playing well for Middlesbrough. I don't really see any reason to take him out. And I think if you're talking about a starting right back for Scotland, I would go with the guy in form. I would go with Nicky. Yeah, I would do. Yes, I think he's powerful. He's quick, and he's match fit, which for me is probably the biggest thing. I remember back when I was sort of in the squad and Alan Hutton was playing every single game for Scotland and he wasn't playing for Aston Villa. Yeah. But I think that was probably down to he didn't really have a challenge.
Yeah.
So there was no one.
There's going to be times you're going to have to do it. You know, we've seen it before. And, you know, there was times when Alan Hutton's always the best example, but there was times when maybe Scott McTominay wasn't getting a game at Man United or Tierney wasn't getting a game at Arsenal, but you still need to play them because they're good.
Right, when was your Portugal game? Many weeks ago?
It was a month tomorrow, 15th.
Right, a month tomorrow. Devlin was playing as good as he was ever playing, wasn't he? And I like Devlin. I'm only putting things out there. And everybody thought, right, go with the guy that's in form, Aberdeen, off to a great start. They were brilliant. He was different class. Everybody was talking about him. When it came to the Portugal game, he went with Alston.
Good point. Okay, thank you to Simon. It's a good time to call. We will get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Gordon DL are in the building. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need, so why not come on down? Bit of debate ticking along about Scotland tomorrow and who should play. There's a wider point there, I think. So we're going to hear from Steve Clark on trying to bring young players through. I know everyone tends to feel quite passionately about those debates, so wade in if you can. And we're going to have a bit of fun later on watching Mark Wilson, Simon Donnelly and co play at the Masters. So 0141 951 1025. Let's hear a bit from Andy, who is on the line. Andy, what are you thinking ahead of tomorrow?
Gordon, how are you? All right, man.
Good,
how's
thanks, good.
Hi, Andy.
Listen, I was listening to the show just on. I heard you saying something the other night, Gordon, right? And you mentioned that it was exactly 4 years since that night in Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
I remember actually calling the show that night, and I remember the elation of the nation, that rhymes, that night, and just because we hadn't done it for so long. And I was actually just thinking the last couple of days about Steve Clark's situation, and sometimes managers get judged on wrongly, probably, over a short period. But I think when you look at Steve Clark's tenure, where we are at the moment, I think we've got a really, really, probably more than most I've called before, and I'm sometimes overly optimistic, as you may remember, but I think we've got a really good chance of finishing possibly top two. We can win tomorrow night. We played Croatia the last time. We were close in the game. I think we're going to be better tomorrow. We played Poland. My understanding is that Lewandowski's out on Monday. There's an opportunity to maybe go and win that game. There's no reason that we're in finished second, which would put us quarterfinals of the Nations League. We would also be seeded for the World Cup draw. So all this doom and gloom about 1-14 or whatever it is, people, the stats are, I think sometimes we need to take a step back and look over the bigger piece.
I don't mind a bit of optimism. There's room for that in everybody's life, Ross. But it feels like at this level, when you get to the top, the margins are so small that I don't think it's inconceivable that you win both. But it's equally as it's not inconceivable that you lose both, and then it becomes all doom and gloom again.
Yeah, listen, I think there's more of a chance of winning the second game than beating Croatia. Croatia are still a very good team, but I guess we were speaking about it earlier. I just hope that, you know, when we were at the Euros in summer and we had to win that last game, we never really went for it. I hope that we put a team out against Croatia who are going to have a go, and at least that way, if they get beat or they don't get the win, they can look at themselves and say we had a proper go at it. That's what I want to see. But I totally agree with that. What Andy's saying, why can't they go and win the two games? They're good enough. They've got players who play in the Premier League every single week, best league in the planet. I don't see any reason why they can't.
Yeah, it's fine lines just now. I think some of the performances have been good, especially against Portugal at Hampden. Look, we are capable of winning those two games, right? We'll need to be at our best, but we need other things to go for us as well. If we've any chance of finishing second, I think it's a massive ask. I'm looking at his next two games starting tomorrow night at Hampden. If we get the right team out, as Ross was saying there, if we go on the front foot and attack and let the players go and play the way they can play, then we'll certainly get the ability to go and hurt Croatia. And let's not kid ourselves on, Croatia are a good side. And then Andy's quite right, Poland missing their star player next week gives us a great opportunity as well. But we need other things to go for us to finish second.
What does that look like, Andy? Because obviously John McGinn comes back and has been incredible for Scotland. But, you know, Kenny McLean was very good the last time. Yep. People are excited by Ben Doak. They see him as this kind of symbol of things going forward. So how do you squeeze all them in?
I was writing a wee bit of paper there, actually, but my team formation would be having listened to the last caller. I would probably, by my two bobs worth, obviously, probably 4-2-3-1, where Alston and Robertson fullbacks probably suit, or along with Hanley. I give you Gilmore and McGinn just sitting in front of the back four with Christie, McTominay, Doak in front of them and playing Dykes. Gets everybody in the team in the shape box to be on the front foot, but Ross said there.
So John McGinn?
No, McLean. He's leaving
McLean. Kenny McLean.
Yeah, he's replacing Kenny McLean.
It's a nice, but is it, look, as the old kind of saying goes, that is a nice problem to have, Ross. And I think that's what people, because as Andy says, we have built up a bit of negativity and there's a bit of frustration there. I can just see it. Whoever gets left out tomorrow, somebody's going to moan about it. But by the same token, you can't fit all them in. So
you can't fit them all in. Someone's going to moan about it. But I don't think anyone who gets left out can have an argument, because there's so many players in there that deserve to play. I just go back to centre. I think Suter's got to play. I think he's been great for Rangers this season. And I think what the manager was talking about, the sleepless nights for me, that'll be the one up front. It will be, because you've got Lyndon Dykes, who's not playing for Birmingham. Shanks isn't scoring many goals for Hearts, and then you've got a younger lad who's playing for
Middlesbrough.
He's playing for Middlesbrough, yeah. But sort of, I think the way Steve Clarke will look at it is, I believe he'll play Ralston right back, and I believe he'll go with Dykes up front, just because they've never let him down. Yeah. I think managers fall back on that.
This is where I do think international football, it must be difficult, Gordon. We're talking about that short turnaround, and I get why Ross is saying it. You know, John Suter played against Portugal, did ever so well, and in the very next game, got a lot of stick for the getting kind of nudged, and Marley Watkins scored the goal. It actually struck me a bit this week, and I'm probably stating the obvious here, but just indulge me for a second, and Ross will have seen this. See, in terms of, and maybe this doesn't apply to that many players because they have been in squads before, but see this idea that you just always pick the guy on form and you always just bring them in. I was at Scotland training working on Tuesday, right? So the game's obviously Friday. By Tuesday, Scott McTominay and Billy Gilmore didn't take part in training yet. They weren't there yet. They were joining up later on Tuesday, okay? Which, don't need me to tell you how the week works. You've then got Wednesday, Thursday, game Friday. So, see, when you really sit and think about it, you can understand, it's human nature, why a manager would lean towards guys that have done it before, because that is next to no time to try and implement things.
Yeah, Steve Clarke's not going to pick his team on 2-3 days training. He's not going to look at players in training and think, oh, he looks really sharp, he played last week against Aberdeen, he played last week against Kilmarnock, whatever, he's the one. You're totally right. He will go on how the players are performing for him, and what I mean, international
and
level.
So similarly then, Nicky Devlin, Anthony Ralston. See, nobody's saying there's loads in it. It might be that it's the toss of a coin. So if it is, maybe it's not this big scandalous shambles that he leans to the guy that's just done it a bit more. It's not even like it's loads. Anthony Ralston's not got 50 caps, but I just haven't seen that this week. Haven't seen their working week. It just maybe gave me a touch more sympathy as to why. It's not like every international break can roll round and you just keep bringing in this guy because he's in form and binning the guys off that have been there before. That must be too
and,
hard.
And plus the fact he can look back and say, right, okay, in our last game, what was your pluses against Portugal? One, our back four and our goalkeeper kept a clean sheet. Yeah. That's a massive plus, right? So he's not going to rip that up because Nicky Devlin's playing very well for Aberdeen, which he is. He said one bad game against Celtic and so did the rest of his teammates. And I think that's why Ralston will stay in the team. I think he'll stay with the same back four and obviously the same goalkeeper. Because I think you put yourself under a little bit of pressure. If you can do it against Portugal, and Portugal, forget Ronaldo, they've still got some world-class players. They were at home at Hampden. They played very well, the back four, defended very well. I think he'll stick with that. It's just a tweak with McGinn and obviously up front. And I agree with Ross, I think he'll go with Dykes.
Frankie is on the other line. Who do you think he'll go with up front?
Well, who will go with? Probably go with Dykes.
Who would you go with?
I think you should change it up. I think what you should do is...
Sorry? We just broke up a bit.
Because I'm on the...
Frankie, you're breaking up. Who was your name there? Who's leading the line?
I'm saying he should maybe switch it up. I think what he should do... Dykes... Again, I think because you've got young.
Oh, it keeps breaking up. Yeah. It's like
not good reception in Lanark.
See, when you're up at the golf course, does it?
I know, I could have went in and asked Frankie what his point was.
You could have just brought the message over. Yeah. I'm going to use my sort of powers of deduction. I think Tommy Conway was the name. I think I could just about hear it in there, or certainly when he said mix it up. You're not saying mix it up, Lyndon Dykes. Mm-hmm. You're saying mix it up, Tommy Conway. It's an interesting one. I think 12 appearances for Middlesbrough this season, 5 goals. I mean, listen, you've got a long way to go to match this man's English Championship goal tally. Next to you. Yeah.
Many, mate. Get it out there, that's what
See,
I do.
See, to be honest, I don't actually know. It's about 120 odd, I think.
In the Championship?
Yeah. Sorry, innit?
Oh, I'm sitting next to a
few big moves off the back of that.
Star.
A few big moves
that's
off the back.
That's how he doesn't need to go up for envelope to Aberdeen. He's sitting cushy.
That's not a bad return, though. You know that level and it's tough. So 5 and 12 for Tommy Conway, young and moving to Middlesbrough.
Can't argue with that. He's at a new club as well. He's probably had to move from home. 5 and 12. I always say, listen, for a striker, you should always be looking at getting a goal every 2 games. That's a great record for me anyway. I think only Ronaldo and Messi have took that to different levels over the years.
The game,
just, unhuman-like. But listen, I think even if Tommy Conway had scored 12 and 12, I don't think Steve Clarke would put him in.
No.
I can't see it. I can't see him shying away from Lyndon Dykes. Me personally, I would have Shankland up there. You might only get one chance, and if you get one chance, who's most likely
so
to
so still
it?
Show the faith in him despite
yep.
the
yep. He's the best finisher in the squad.
Do you know also the Gordon, I think we've been through this before, and again that harsh reality strikes. This is not meant to be disrespectful to any of them, but here are your choices: a Scottish Premiership striker who at the moment is near the bottom of the table and has scored once this season, a guy that's now in League One who isn't always even starting in League One, I don't think, or you can try and trusted option and your kind of new option in Tommy Conway. So clearly, again, there's not a lot there. Let's stop getting all angry because your preferred one doesn't get chosen and the nod goes to someone else. These are marginal, and the level that those three guys are at, again, no disrespect to them, in comparison to the level that the midfielders are at, is it the reality that the striker is always just going to be the guy that brings the best out of the midfielders? Is that the way Steve Clarke will look at it?
And I think he will. Depends how he's going to play from back to front. If he's going to go direct, I think he'll look at Dykes for his strength and the height and even the flick-ons. I think he'll look at the international games that these guys have played. I know that you can talk about, and I totally agree with what you're saying. I think if he'd have scored 12 out of 12, I don't think he's going to be in tomorrow night. I think it'll be a toss-up between Dykes and Shankland. Now, I love Shanklin. I think he's on the top of his game. He's brilliant. I think he's got everything in him, and I agree the fact that he's a terrific finisher. He's a brilliant finisher, but I just think his club form just now, that bit of confidence going down a little bit.
Here's my question for you on that though. Does this not all come from years gone by? People have Lauren Shanklin pigeonholed as a 6-yard striker, and then nothing else. His goals have dried up this season.
But he's,
we watched the game at Ibrox. His link-up play was brilliant.
So
I wonder if we're looking at it the wrong way. Why is Lauren Shanklin not the guy to link up with Scott McTominay and link up with?
Well, he went for Adams against Portugal, right? And that's probably for the reason. I think Adams is a better link-up play. I think when you play Dykes, I think players get into this habit of just hitting long balls.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And sometimes it's a bit unfair in Dykes and just asking them to go and battle. They've got enough quality in the middle of the park. They've got good pace round about it. The fullbacks go up and down the pitch. If he's going to play football, I agree with you, Gordon. I thought Shanklin at Ibrox, some of his touches were great. His link-up play was great, so he was playing with confidence that way. Unfortunately, he's just not getting the breaks in front of goals. And it might be a Scotland goal tomorrow night that might just kickstart his season.
Because the problem is, at Hearts, he's the guy that needs to score. But if we're saying that tomorrow night, it might be McTominay, it might be McGinn, so actually, could it suit him?
I'll start by saying I believe Lauren Shanklin's link-up play and his touch and his holding of the ball is better than Lyndon Dykes's. Lyndon Dykes, I think people believe that he holds it up better just because he's taller and he's more, you know,
physically
more physical.
Imposing,
but I don't think that's a matter of fact. I think in every department,
he's more intelligent. Shanklin,
he is. Yes,
he's more intelligent.
Round the box, you pop it, and
he knows
where it's going. If it's a first time layback or whatever, I think. And I think some of them midfielders as well who are in the squad, I think, would probably prefer playing with someone like Shanklin rather than Dykes.
It's an interesting one. Thank you to Frankie, albeit the line wasn't great. Let me tell you about this.
Christmas Cash Countdown. Win £300,000.
Oh, we're getting there. We are getting there. £300,000 into your bank account before the weekend. How does that sound? Don't tell me it sounds anything other than incredible. Talk about the run-up to Christmas would take on a totally different complexion. And if you want to be in with a chance of winning the £300,000, text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this rare network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm Friday when the call will be made. All you have to do is answer your phone. That is it. Answer your phone and the £300,000 is yours, straight into your bank account. It's a guaranteed winner. Someone wins the lot. Make sure there's a chance of it being you. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Deal and Ross McCormick are here. 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. Keep your calls coming on Scotland, whether it's specifically, you know, who should play this time, or what about the future? Because there's been a big debate about how more young players can get game time and whether they should. And Steve Clark's had some interesting points to make, and I'll give you them as soon as we do this, because I've been telling you all night we're going to have a bit of fun later on watching our colleagues, some of them in the Masters up in Aberdeen at the P&G Arena. So our colleague Beth Wallace is there.
Good evening, boys. Beth Wallace here, making her debut on Super Scoreboard tonight. And I mean, there's definitely been better debuts, because you've sent me to P&G Live in Aberdeen at the Masters football, where I've not long seen Mark Wilson warm up, and it's been a bit of a disturbing sight, if I'm honest. I really hope the physio's nearby, because I think the boy is going to need it tonight. But of course, the Masters football is going to be an excellent event. We've got Aberdeen playing Celtic, Rangers and Dundee United. Interestingly, the same four teams that are in the top of the division right now. It is going to be a cracking evening. I'm going to be chatting to some of the players. And let's find out who is most scared of Mark Wilson halfing them. Back to you, lads.
Nobody is the answer. Absolutely not one single person. I'm looking forward to finding out how he gets on
a bit later.
He's
struggling to warm up.
Of course he is.
I hope he gets paid well, the amount of stick that he takes off you guys, honestly.
This is nothing. Oh. Just you wait. How red's his face going to be bombing about inside that? Oh, I can't wait.
The hamstrings and everything will be popping.
Wonderful. Let's hear from Steve Clark. He says the entire country needs to work together. I don't know if you've seen the stats that are doing the rounds this week about the percentage of minutes given to young Scottish players in the Premiership. I think Motherwell, the only team with over 10%. Obviously, Lennon Miller plays all the time. Ewan Wilson. Only Kilmarnock really with a semi-respectable number. And then the top three, Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen, none. No minutes, no percentage of minutes given to Scottish under 21 players. So a bit of a concern. Steve Clark says the entire country needs to work together and try and emulate Croatia's success.
The system set up right from the young ages. They've just got the balance right. They produce a lot of good young players. They bring them through. They allow them to play quite a lot of games in their own country before they move out, which I think is a really good grounding, something that maybe we can get better at in this country and show a pathway for the young players. I think there's a lot that we need to keep trying to change in Scotland if we want to get better. We need to come up with something that's maybe a little bit different that we haven't tried before to see if we can improve it, because if we keep doing what we're doing, it's not going to get any better. So we have to try and improve.
James is on the line. What's your master plan, James? Everyone else has chucked it. They've left hand, and you're the man in charge to fix it all. What are you giving us?
Well, I just think, for a start, I think the SFA need someone that's got a vision. You know, a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, whatever it may be, but just a plan. I just feel as if we're going down the road of trying to be a sort of parody of the Premier League. You know, instant success. We're bringing in foreign players. We've got great players playing for the national team now. And how many players do we throw in the scrap heap at sort of pro youth level? So my idea would be, you know, maybe 5 years, 10 years, however long, give the teams time and introduce the no foreigner rule. Three foreigner rules. You know, on the pitch at one time, you can only have three foreigners.
I think, you know, I can just see Fraser Wisher and his colleagues, you know, restriction of people's working rights and stuff like that. I know what James obviously means this in a football sense, to benefit the national team. You just can't do that. I mean, you can't restrict where people work. What you can maybe do is tweak things the other way. Ross, were you part of that era when you did have to have Scottish players in the squad?
Yeah, actually, it was the three under 21s on the bench rule, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, it didn't work, did it? People didn't like it, so.
No, well, it didn't, because you had guys like myself who were sitting on the bench at Rangers every week who didn't actually deserve to, and the first team players who had been training hard all week, probably more deserving, missing out. So it's all right coming up with this plan, but that would take a long, long time to implement.
Stuff like that, Gordon, because at the same time, something needs done. Then there needs to be an incentive, surely. I've seen people sort of shrug their shoulders in the last couple of weeks and say, oh well, they're not good enough, and that's it. But I mean, you need more than that. Ultimately, how are you ever going to know someone's truly good enough until you at least give them a small chance? I'm not saying you get 11 young Scottish players and you play them all every week, but we're talking about small chance, small opportunity. These stats are like 0% of minutes given. You can't tell me there are not players out there that are worth 1% of the minutes.
Yeah, it's a frightening stat, to be honest with you. The three foreigner rule, you're looking, look, they're Celtic in the Champions League. You can't turn around and say, well, you're only allowed to play three foreigners. You know, you can't do that, Rangers, obviously in Europe as well. So, yes, I agree, Gordon. I think a lot of people have the attitude, well, they're not good enough. If they're good enough, they're old enough, they'll get an opportunity. I think pressure comes under managers as well sometimes. You know what I mean? There's managers that would love to go and play the younger ones and say, right, we might suffer for a few months, but the problem is the manager suffers. That's what happens. You don't get time. So I totally take on board.
Do you think like half the league or more than half the league scared of going down at the start of every season?
Yeah, and then if you get a few bad results as well, it doesn't matter what club you're at, you will not turn the fans around by saying, look, hold on a minute, I'm bringing through all my youth, I'm bringing through my young players. It will take time, it might take us a season. Fans aren't patient enough for that. I do agree with Steve Clark right enough that somewhere along the line we've got to sit down and try and work our best, because what you said there is correct. There are young players out there good enough, right? Miller, for instance, at Motherwell got an opportunity. He's only started playing regular this season.
The last season.
Well, yeah. but more now. He's
the main man.
He's now the captain, Gordon, at 18. I know that obviously the captain, McKinnon, that's injured. But he's now been given that responsibility as well. So there's others out there that, given the right opportunity, I think could step up. But we have to get it right so that everybody has got a fair chance of doing that.
You see the kind of quotas thing, Ross, that you lived through. Fair play to you. You didn't. You know, you then just went out. You went and played, and you left. Can it work the other way, where guys then are happy just to sit around Rangers and Celtic bench? Pff, happy days. Win bonus. I'll just sit there and.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what happened. So players were probably getting the offer to go out to, you know, a Scottish Championship team or lower end Scottish Premier League team and knocking it back, because they were getting, for talking, I think the win bonus was like 1200 quid when I was back at Rangers. You sit on the bench, you get that. They won nearly every game.
Hold on. Stop the bus.
You've
a
interested
minute.
Them here.
Stop the bus. Did you just say 1200 large?
1200 quid, aye.
For sitting on your backside.
For sitting in the bench.
Didn't even have to go.
Mate, I would have signed a 10-year contract for it.
I know.
I'm telling you now. I would have said
it. I look
it.
Back at it now and think, why did I leave?
See, when I signed with Rangers, right? Back in 79-80, the first reserve wage, my wage was 150 quid, and the first team were £375, right? So to put that in perspective, I was on 150 quid because right? I was never near the first team. And you're telling me 1200 quid to sit in your backside, how things have changed.
So to sum up away from him, you don't think I kind of, are there any incentives there that work, or does it just need to come before that? It needs to be a way that the players do appear better and therefore they're given a chance. Is there anything you can do to incentivise clubs?
I'm not really sure, but for this argument that will benefit the national team and stuff, you can't really create an argument like that at the minute when you've got probably the best young prospect who's came through in a number of years and you're telling me he can't get in the Scotland squad. Lennon Miller should be in that Scotland squad, make no doubt about it. No mistakes at all. He should be in that Scotland squad.
So actually, it's an interesting time to have this debate, because there may be two things. Like, can we get more Scottish minutes in the Premiership? That kind of lives alone, I think, really, from what the international team's doing. Conversations like this just give me shivers a bit, Gordon, because it's the ones that we usually have. We fail to qualify for a tournament, then we have them the next day. And people like James, or the phrase James uses about 5-year plans and 2020 visions and Henry McLeish's report and performance directors and performance schools and pitches are too expensive and the PlayStations are played too much. Actually, the national team's kind of all right just now in relative terms. It's pretty good compared to where we've been, but I do get it. We're trying to look at the next stage, and then separately, how do we make the league have more Scottish minutes? So all your suggestions, get them in whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time, there's a signed ball and more importantly, bragging rights on the line if you call before 7 o'clock on 01419511025, and we'll play next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Ross McCormick are here on 01419511025. It's been quite lively on the phones, I have to say. Much appreciated to all of you getting involved, talking about the Scotland game tomorrow and who should play and the picture in Nations League A. Then a wider point, everyone's kind of getting into that debate at the moment about young players coming through and the number of them and how we fix it and all that sort of stuff. So looking forward to doing more of that with you. I can see loads of calls, and it's at this time, this hour of the show, where we'll have a bit of fun casting our eye on the likes of Mark Wilson and Simon Donnelly playing in the Masters. Well, we just sit here drinking tea and coffee. You know, get your Empire biscuit with you. I saw you with in there.
I've not got one.
Critiquing these guys as they go about their
business. I refused it just in case, obviously, I get called into action. For another activity over the coming months.
Are Raith Rovers involved in the Masters?
No, I'm talking about another activity. We'll hear about it later on.
Okay, sounds weird. I don't know if I want to hear about it. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. You didn't play last time you were on, Ross, did you?
Nope.
You so never played, mate?
No.
Would you panic? You look.
I probably would, but do you know what? I got all the questions right, but I think it'd be different if I was playing. I'd probably have panic.
But I'm a good teammate to sit.
No, he's awful. No. He puts everybody off.
I knew that.
Your form's good though, is it not?
A 10 out of 10.
That's right. You did the 10, didn't you?
You get 11 tonight then, won't you?
10 out of 10, mate. I am flying without wings.
Don't know if that reference really works there, but anyway, Chris is in Inverness. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. How are you?
Is this a debut for you, Chris, or have you done it before?
It is, aye.
Just at home. Right. How's your knowledge generally? Fancy it?
It's all right, normally, but I reckon now tonight I'll probably choke.
I'm going to steal Ross McCormick's pen just for 2 seconds because I don't have one, so we'll toss the coin. If it's heads, it's Ross, and if it's tails, it is Gordon DL. Let's see how we go. And it is tails. The Dazzler back in the saddle.
Oh, I could go 11 tonight.
He's giving it the big in there, wasn't he?
Chris, I could go 11 tonight, my friend.
Well, let's find out.
Don't choke.
Let's find out. Make sure your headphones are on.
Why, hold on. I'll tell you when they're on.
People were just accusing you and maybe giving it the old listening to me. There we go. He's nodding his head, which is a worry. Right, Chris, 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. Pass if you want and move on, okay? Good man. 30 seconds going on that clock and your time starts now. Which Scotland international led out Chelsea women against Celtic last night?
Aaron Cuthbert.
Who was Rangers' first foreign manager?
Paul Le Guin.
Livy knocked out which championship side in the Trust Trophy this week?
Greenock Martin.
Name any country Neil Lennon has managed in since leaving Celtic in 2021?
Cyprus.
Who were the last side outside the top flight to compete in the Scottish Cup final?
Pass.
Which former Rangers player joined St Mirren this week?
Declan John.
Are you ready, Gordon DL?
Yeah.
Chris is good.
Is he? I thought Chris would be good.
Or am I just saying that?
No, Chris is good. You wouldn't embarrass Chris.
You sure?
Yeah.
What if he got zero and I'm sitting going, oh, he's
bad? No, he's not.
You never know. I think we had a donut from a listener this week.
Did we?
I'm sure we did.
Come on.
Okay, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Which Scotland international led out Chelsea women against Celtic last night?
Oh, pass.
Who was Rangers' first foreign manager?
Cushinha.
Livingston knocked out which championship side in the Trust Trophy this week?
Championship. I've seen it, pass.
Name any country Neil Lennon's managed in since leaving Celtic in 2021. Who were the last team outside the top flight to compete in the Scottish Cup final?
Livingston.
Which former Rangers player joined St Mirren this week?
Declan John. Who did Livingston?
I'll tell you in a minute. How are you feeling about that, Chris?
Close, maybe.
Okay. Let's.
I get some poor ones there, man.
He looks a bit flustered for a guy that's won 10 in a row, doesn't he? Do you think they were quite tricky, though?
I let myself down. Livingston played.
One of your answers is horrendous.
I know, Cushinha.
And let's go through them. Let's put you both out.
Dick Advocaat. Must be.
Oh,
3 minutes too late.
Jeez.
Let's find out. Man. Which Scotland international led out Chelsea women against Celtic last night? It is Aaron Cuthbert.
They won 2-1 as well. I was hoping you'd ask me the score.
Chris got it.
Oh, well done,
1-0
Chris.
1-0 Chris.
There you go.
Rangers' first foreign manager.
Dick Advocaat.
Dick Advocaat.
Yeah, I managed.
Ross McCormick sitting next to you.
I managed it against him in the cup final.
Well, there you go. So did you not think that it would maybe wouldn't be Pedro Cushinha then who came?
I knew right away. I panicked. What did Chris say?
He didn't get it either. He got it wrong. Livy knocked out which championship side in the Trust Trophy this week? Morton.
So it was.
Chris got it.
Oh, I'm beat.
2-0 to Chris. Name any country Neil Lennon has managed in since leaving Celtic 2021. Cyprus or Romania?
Chris
you
got it.
Both got it.
Yeah, so I need a comeback. Yeah.
However, Chris, I feel like deducting you points for this. It is. Right. I always say this. It is amazing how often this sort of coincidence happens. What team do you support, Chris?
Cali. Are they the last ones?
Chris is an Inverness fan. Who were the last team outside the top flight to compete in the Scottish Cup final?
Oh, Billy Dodds.
Inverness, Cali Thistle.
I was there. Yep.
Chris is banging out. He's given us Morton, he's given Cyprus, Aaron Cuthbert, and he can't even remember his own team.
Look, a lot, this is my first defeat in 10. The final,
my guess, Gretna.
Incredible.
He went Gretna.
No, back at Profusus.
No, Inverness, Billy Dodge.
Just the season before last. The former Rangers player who joined St Mirren this week was Declan John. Well done, Gordon. You got it. So did Chris. I told
four
you Chris
two,
was good.
4-2
win. The Dazzler streak is over. Well done, Chris. That's
well
brilliant.
Done, Chris.
Cheers. Thank you.
I'm going to go all serious on you now, Chris, though. Life as an Inverness Cali Thistle fan, how tough is it currently?
Yeah, not great. I think actually a bit optimistic after the administration. Which I didn't think I'd say, but I think it seems to be going in the hoping it's going in the right direction with the 20 projected people that were looking at putting in money. But I don't know.
It's just so tough with the footballing side because the points deductions kick in, don't they? Well, and it feels like there's
It was a good result last weekend, so I'm hoping they can get a bit more of them, and then even just staying in the league would be huge. So.
Nope. Yeah. Yep, fingers crossed for you. You've got a signed ball if it cheers you up at all. Well done. That was a good performance.
Thank you.
Take care.
I appreciate it. Right, thanks for that.
Inverness are. I just detest Inverness.
Sorry?
No, I do.
You're disrespectful.
Because I've never won. Even as a manager, that was the worst place ever to go for me as a manager. I couldn't win in Inverness as a football, and now I can't win at Beat the Pundit against
it's
people in Inverness. Even if I'd have taken the Brazilian World Cup squad to Inverness, I wouldn't have won. And see, the minute he mentioned Inverness, that's how I panicked. I knew that it's my bogey city team club.
Actually, last night.
Is that City, Inverness?
I think it is now, yeah. Last night, Connor played Beat the Pundit, and he was from Aberdeen, and he was actually going along to the Masters tonight.
Was he?
So we said, you know, if he got the signed ball, Simon Donnelly could have taken it up for him. So Connor's going along. He says he's off to see them at the P&G Arena. With that in mind, let's check in with some of the players there, because we heard from Beth earlier on. She's out and about catching up with them. And our old... It has to be him, doesn't it? We have to lead off with him. I mean, there are some bigger names there. There are some better players.
About 22 bigger names.
But we need to go for them. Let's hear Mark Wilson's pre-match thoughts.
Right, man of the night.
Oh, thank you.
Not sure about that.
Exactly. How are you feeling?
Great. I don't know, it's a bit weird because for the last couple of years I've played for Celtic. I'm the only guy in Masters history to get a transfer, I think, for a winning team. So, a bit strange, but good seeing some of the boys that I've not seen for a long time in the Dundee United team.
Now, was it a transfer or did you get dropped?
I never got dropped. Listen, just ask the Celtic players. They were devastated when I wasn't in the team. So we needed a big name to get the crowd in for the Dundee United fans, didn't they? So it obviously went to me.
I was chatting to the Celtic boys and they were like, nah, you got dropped.
Don't give us that. Well, I'm not saying that to my face. Wait till I've seen them in the game. We played them first game as well, so that'll be interesting.
Who are you most worried to come against tonight?
Worried? Well, look, the Celtic boys obviously won it last year. Guys like Gary Hooper and Joe Ledley, Big Charlie, look like they can still play. A couple of the guys have just retired, like Johnny Hayes, no long retired. Joe Lewis, you seen the size of Joe Lewis?
We're actually saying, I think he's taller than the goals.
By the way, I know. Hey, keep it low then, with Big Joe. But, like, a few of them are in good shape. But we've got a couple of fit boys in our team, John Rankin, and that keeps themselves fit. So, be good, it'll be competitive. But, boys will have to get used to this surface. I've got a wee bit of experience on it. It's not easy to play on.
So where's Dundee finishing tonight?
I'm going to say we'll be in the final. There you go. We'll be in the final.
And obviously it's the same top four teams in the top league just now. So Celtic at top at the minute, Aberdeen second, Rangers third, Dundee United fourth. Is it going to look the same by the end of the night here?
No, we'll be first or second. Mark my words. Famous last words there.
Who's bottom?
Rangers.
And that's the best place to leave it, I think.
He's got a lot to say for himself, that guy, before it started.
Well, how good was that when she said, what fit players have you? Oh, we've got a few fit players. Rankin. Nobody else. Did you notice that?
And he's saying their Celtic players are devastated that have left them.
Nobody else. I'm telling you, just watch this tonight. Anybody that's watching the Masters on TV, just keep your eye on Wilson. He runs about and never gets involved.
Ross, did you ever think, because you were telling us before, your first ever, was it Scotland under 21?
Yeah.
Call up, you were rooming with Mark Wilson. Do you think that quiet wee guy would now be rent-a-coat on the radio?
I never thought I'd be watching him in the Masters either, that's for sure. That's quite, yeah. I think me and Charlie get called up when we were 17, 18, and I get put into a room with Willow. Completely different guy back then. He was pretty quiet then.
Didn't drink back then, is what
didn't
you mean?
Didn't drink back then, yeah. Now, I didn't want to say that, yeah. But...
Wait till you see him in Aberdeen tonight when this Masters
please,
is funny.
Please drink responsibly, yeah. And all that sort of stuff. Let's bring in Richard, who's in Ayrshire. How are you, Richard?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, can't complain. I know there's been a lot flying about debates, Richard, about, you know, young players getting a game in Scotland and all that sort of stuff. Have you got a thought, a suggestion?
I've enjoyed listening to the kind of some of the points that some of the other callers have made. And it's a wee topic that you're seeing creeping up on social media more and more. And it's obviously a talking point within folk that still go to football. I don't know whether it would be too radical, Gordon, but I think that the SPL should maybe look at whether it's an under-21 or even pushing it as far as an under-18. At least one should be in the match day, as in the starting 11, for your SPFL game, or is it cup games? I think that we lose a lot of youngsters between the age of 17 and 19 in Scotland, and I could probably rhyme off the top of my head 10 or 12 just now from the last 6 months to a year. And I don't really think there's anything that's keeping them here. You know, I think that the rule with three under-21s in the match day squad, that's all very well, but we're losing kids before they get to 21. Like that, as in...
How do you guard the get? Because it's Richard. There's no such thing as a bad suggestion. We're taking them all. We'll do it. I wonder how you feel about some of the obstacles that we were kind of talking about earlier. This idea that then, when you have to do something, you then might be rewarding people who actually don't deserve it, and then it becomes counterproductive. Is there a danger there, or do you think it's sort of worth taking that chance for the long term benefit?
Every academy in Scotland, right? So every kind of Scottish academy, whether it's an elite academy, performance academy, they're bringing through batches of kids from the ages of, you know, let's just say they get to intermediate academy and 14-year-old plus. I think that by the age of 18, they will, or most academies will have, you know, one or two that they think should be playing or can play. Now, I'm not saying that it would then cause a disadvantage to, say it was a Celtic, had to, a year ago, include Daniel Kelly or a Rocco Vata or Aidan Boland, or the list can kind of go on. But it's not a disadvantage because every side would have to field a Lennon Miller or a... I'm not saying everybody's got a Lennon Miller, but I don't know if there's wiggle room there for either... having to field as in start an under-21, or do you go that step further and having to start an under-18 to try and give them a carrot to stop them from going down south?
I think, you know, making it, you have to play an under-18 sounds extreme, Ross, but Richard's then on that same idea that lots of people had. We spoke your experience about quotas. What is the answer then in terms of, or does it just all need to start before that? And
I think the most realistic one that probably could happen, if anything was going to happen, is revert back to that under-21 rule in the match day squad. But there's probably no club in the country is going to sign up to something that says they need to play an under-18 player. I just can't see it. There's too much money in the game for teams to do that.
Well, that's the thing then, Gordon. How at some point, like, you know, if there is such a thing as a greater good, and I always think of my esteemed colleague Hugh Keevan, says Scottish football runs on spite, malice and mistrust. Who is willing to put other people's interests before their own? So people will talk about, you know, okay, what can the Scottish FA do? And that's when you're talking the national team. We've heard about performance schools, we've heard about this, that and the next thing. Then you've got the clubs, the SPFL. That's a separate organisation. They're both members organisations, but they've both got maybe different priorities. So how do you actually ever get a scenario where everyone is aligned and is willing? You know, as Ross says, and we're completely at the hypothetical, because you're now allowed five subs.
Yeah.
You know.
But there'll be five internationals if it's Celtic and Rangers and teams like that.
You can only use your fifth sub if it's it's a Scottish under-21 player or something. I know that there are flaws to all of these. But if we're sitting here, Steve Clark then hit the nail on the head. If we're sitting here and saying, well, whatever the current situation is, if we're all in agreement that that's broken, then maybe it is an imperfect solution that you need to try and just shift things in a different direction.
I don't know if we have to look. I think there's a gap between the youth academies coming out of there to the first team. I think there's a big, big gap in there. Now, in years gone by, and I know I'll never go back to it, because that was a long time ago, there was a reserve team that you went and played, even if you were 16, you went and played, and you played with first team players come back for injury. I remember my first ever one. I played with guys like Davy Cooper, Sandy Jardine, the greats at Rangers. And the education I learned at 16 just on the pitch with these guys was incredible. I don't think we've got that pathway to the first team. I think there's a gap. I think they get to youth level. I think this under 21 leagues and all that, they're playing in, you know, junior grounds. They're playing in different places. I think we've got to bridge a gap somewhere. I've not got the answer to it, but I don't believe in you've got to start with an under 21 in your starting 11. That's never going to happen. As much as it would be brilliant, it's never going to happen. Certainly not an under 18. Managers will probably argue the fact that if we get good enough young players that are able to take the step into first teams. But as you quite rightly say, we'll never know until they get the opportunity. Guys like Lennon Miller and all these boys are completely different. But we are losing a lot of good players. But I still think there's some way from that pathway into the first team that we're missing.
Did you play reserve football, Ross? I take it.
I did, yeah. Listen, I think it's all right talking about these young boys getting put into the first team and stuff, but I think it's got to be on merit. I quite like the way it is. A lot of people believe if you're good enough, you're old enough. And that usually is what happens. If you are good enough, then you'll get in the team. If not, then someone else deserves to play before you. It's as simple as that. But I did. I played reserve football. I was actually, it's quite weird. I couldn't get a game for Rangers under 18s, and I was the captain of the reserve team. Bizarre.
Seriously?
Yeah, absolutely bizarre. Yeah, Bomber was the 21s manager. Tommy McLean was the under 18s. Tommy hated me and Bomber loved me, so I didn't play under 18s.
Let me tell you, I travelled with Tommy. Tommy hated everybody.
But you were the captain of reserves.
Yeah, so I remember one game.
So who would be in that team?
Livingston away. There was Frank De Boer was in the team. I think Moles might have played that day. I think he was coming back from an injury. But listen, you'd never get the opportunity to play with them kind of players. De Boers, Moles, Arveladze, and that played a couple of times. So I agree with what Gordon was saying there. I think there is an argument for a reserve league. But realistically, when players then get to 18, 19, you know if they're going to be good enough for the first team. So they won't want to hang around to play reserve football if they can go elsewhere and play first team football.
Thank you, Richard. All suggestions are welcome. 01419511025, and we will get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Gordon Dieller here, 01419511025. At this time of the night, we usually do a full-time teaser, but you know what? Running a bit late. We're going to have fun watching the Masters. I think I'll give it a rest, and we'll just bring it back tomorrow. Big apologies to any huge teaser fans out there. But we are watching the first game of this Masters, Aberdeen against Rangers. And Lee Miller, he's a friend of the show, he's been on before. Lennon's dad, as he gets known these days. He opened the scoring inside 40 seconds. Chris Boyd has just equalised for Rangers, and he's given it the old big belly celebration, which makes me think the local crowd in Aberdeen have probably been slagging him for his weight so far. Is that fair?
It's a typical Boyd finish, isn't it? Standing 6 yards out, tapping, doesn't even move. The equaliser. It's off to a good pace. That's quite like the look of this. Can't wait to see the Celtic Dundee United game. That'll be a classic.
Oh, I know, they're just teasing us, giving us the big build up for Mark Wilson's appearance.
Have you noticed he's not even a captain? Daly's a captain.
He kicked out of Celtic last year.
Doesn't even get the captaincy.
It could be worse because you've got.
Would it not be brilliant if he doesn't start? He's on the pine.
Could be worse.
Dragged. What if he get dragged after 5 minutes?
That would be good.
He won't last. He'll run about and pull his hammy or something.
Another pundit of ours, Marvin Bartlett, could be even worse. He was at Hibs last year. The full team's not even been invited this season.
They couldn't afford the insurance with the big
dodge him. Oh, he was brutal.
He was unbelievable.
I have to say, the person I didn't expect to be playing at the Masters in Aberdeen is Bruno Alves.
Yeah.
It's just didn't expect it. Celtic not playing yet, or Dundee United, as we said. Let's hear from Charlie Mulgrew. He's up there as well, looking forward to it.
Right, big game of night. How are you feeling?
No, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. The pitch is bigger than I thought it would be. I'm used to playing sixes on a five pitch. Actually, Gordon Duncan, who's at Super Scoreboard, he actually plays it. He'll know what I'm talking about. This pitch is a bit bigger, but listen, I'm excited, looking forward to it. Should be good.
And who do you think is going to come out on top tonight?
Hard to say. There's a few fit players here. I know the manager at Hamilton, who I travelled up with today. He's very fit. He runs every day. There's Mark Wilson, who's fit. There's players that have just recently retired. They're still playing, so there's a lot of fit players. It's hard to say. Whoever's got the most legs will probably win this.
And obviously, Mark Wilson, part of Super Scoreboard. He was in the winning team last year with Celtic. Why is he not in the Celtic team this year?
I don't know. Maybe I've been brought in for him. Bit of pressure, that, innit? I don't know. He should be. Who knows? I wish we had him.
Very diplomatic answer, but that's you know who you're choosing if you've got those two.
Oh yeah. I've been brought in for him.
I forgot he wasn't in it last year. That makes sense then.
I've got to say, Gordon, just looking at the TV here, the pitch looks massive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Made of something harder than concrete. You ever seen a ball bounce like that?
Yeah. Well, remember last year the carpet kept coming up.
Yeah,
so I got a bit embarrassing.
It's an improvement on that.
Oh, it's certainly an improvement.
Better than Rugby Park, is it not?
Oh, we had a big debate about that last night. Oh, lots of people slagging the plastic pitches last night. In fact, we had a Killie fan earlier who said he wanted to bring it up, and then he never did. We moved on, didn't we? We spoke Scotland, didn't we? We moved on. But anyway, right, we're having a bit of fun. Just something different for your international break, watching the Masters, Aberdeen and Rangers still drawing. And I can't wait to see Mark Wilson in action. Let's bring in Ian, who's also a Kilmarnock fan, incidentally. But you've got some thoughts in this old debate about young players getting game time, Ian. That stat that came out, though, Killy, were second, I think. You know, David Watson contributing to those minutes. So you're at least doing a bit at your club.
I think we've been doing a bit for years, bringing in players. I think Kilmarnock have got a good youth set up. My point is maybe changing the format of the League Cup back to over the course of the season, away from this group stage, instead of pre-season friendlies that clubs would organise themselves, to put into a draw for a League Cup and playing group stages in the summer. I would see it go back to spread out over the season, and then maybe more rules in place to say you've got to include so many under-21s and start them, and then maybe so many under-18s included in the team.
Okay, because if we're talking about, look, it's just never going to work in the league, and it just kind of devalues things and you're forcing people in, are there any tweaks that can be made in other competitions?
Well, you look at the Trust Trophy just now, Rangers B have still to play in that to get to the semi-final, is that right? They play at Queen's Park. I can't believe I never get Livingston Morton. But now, is that going to benefit any of these players coming through for Rangers just now? I don't think it will.
Okay, but I take the point. I think Ian means more of a real something to bridge the gap between the first, you know, where you've got X amount. It is still a first team. It's still the League Cup and players want to win it.
But that League Cup, for me, if you're going to do that with an incentive of putting young boys into the first team, it'd be much better to keep it as a group stage, because then you get, is it a minimum of three games? Whereas if you do just a normal, like the Scottish Cup, for talking sake, you might get knocked out in the first game.
So you're on half of Ian's point, basically.
Yeah, listen, it's probably, I think the League Cup is probably the most
likely
that you could change to accommodate something. I think forget the Scottish Cup, forget the Premier League. I can't see the managers signing up to something like that. But the League Cup, there's probably a lot of managers in the SPL who see it as a hindrance anyway, so why not?
Well, come the 15th of December, I don't think MD's got to see it that way, in the fact that the two big teams go together, you know what I mean? And it'll be a packed Hampden, and everybody will be wanting to win that League Cup between Celtic and Rangers. I keep saying it, there must be a way somewhere to bridge that gap. I go back to Steve Clark. Steve Clark was talking about it. Now, I would ask Steve Clark a question. Okay, you're all for us trying to change things to get young players in, and we've touched on it tonight. There was a call off for Scotland. Now, if he's looking down that road, he's brought up. Now, Armstrong, I like Armstrong. I think Armstrong's been very good for Scotland, but Armstrong's not for the future. He's past it now. He's over in America now, seeing out his career. If that was the case, why is Scotland no manager, no promoting Lennon Miller to the squad?
See, to be fair, though, that's not... There's nothing wrong with that. I think the core of this argument that's happening right now is what can we do to get more Scottish players getting game time in the Premiership? So that's a separate issue, I think, you know, in terms of... That's just one national team manager kind of choosing who he does or doesn't call up. Do you know what I mean? I think the debate here is, you know, what can be done in terms of the structure of the game that allows that to happen?
I don't think anything. I think there's too much money involved.
You think clubs are just never going to be willing to do anything like that?
I can't see it, to be fair. I think there's probably...
You'll get exceptions like Lennon Miller, right? Kilmarnock, you look at young Watson, he's come on, leaps and bounds. He doesn't play regular every week, but he's a part of that first team squad. You can look at probably other clubs and you'll pick out one or two young players that are, you know, Dundee United, I think, brought on the young lad that scored. What was
Owen Sturton.
Yeah. So there's certainly players out there, whether they get the opportunity. But I think Ross is right. As a young player, you've got to go out there and press every day and say, right, OK, I'm going to show you that I'm good enough for a manager to have the confidence to put me in. Because that's what it's needed. Managers ain't going to risk their jobs just for to say, listen, I'm playing young kids. It ain't going to happen.
I wonder about that, because there was that report that came out, was that in the start of the year, Ian, and it spoke about that Scotland is failing, you know, bringing young players through. But it did say that compared to other European leagues and all this kind of studies that went on, that actually the sort of size of league and so on wasn't an issue. This report said that wasn't what was failing players, because you've heard that, Ian, haven't you, where managers feel there's too much pressure because it's a small league, and if it was a bigger league you might be able to play young players. The report says that's not the case. What's your own view on it? Do you think that is something that would help?
I don't believe that's the case. I believe the league is good the way it is, but it could be better, maybe up to 16 teams or maybe two 16 team leagues.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Ross. Look, and then we're going league reconstruction, we're think tanks and all, you know, and it becomes this huge, complex, multifaceted issue. Like I said, that report, and I know people don't agree with this, that's why I'm asking it, but you've kind of got to acknowledge the research. It says that the size of the league isn't playing a part, but lots of fans don't feel that way and think that for various reasons a bigger league would allow more breathing space maybe to bring young players through.
But does a bigger league necessarily mean that you're going to play more games?
I think
because that's what it is in terms of getting young boys into.
No, I think it's more the risk of relegation becomes lesser, so managers feel that they can do it. I don't know.
I don't know. I just take Celtic for instance. Are you telling me that Brendan Rodgers is going to turn round and say to Paolo Bernardo on the bench that they paid £5 million for, you're not on the bench today because we've got to put a 17-year-old on. I just can't see it happening.
It's difficult that, Gordon, isn't it? Because again, yeah, and Celtic are then trying to make moves in Europe and have a really good squad, have two players for every position, three players in some positions. That all sounds good. And then you also hear people saying, whether it's Celtic or Rangers, are you telling me that when you're 3-0 up,
you can't put a young player on?
You can't put a young player on. You've not got a striker there that can go...
But it goes back to what Ross is saying there. You know, if you're 3-0 up and you're changing things, Celtic just now, and especially with the Champions League, will put on their experienced players to get them game time, to keep them sharp, to keep them match fit. They're not going to just say, right, OK, we're 3-0 up, let's stick on two or three young players. Look, they've got their own interests at heart, Celtic, Rangers and the big teams. And I can understand that because they've got so many competitions, the pressure, the money, and correct as well, the amount of money is incredible now in the game, especially if in Europe and you're winning. So it's a full package it goes with it. I think we have got young, good players out there. Whether I'm just looking at the Championship there, we're looking at a 12-team league. If you had to go to 16, is the standard going to fall? Because right now I think we've got a good product. I like the split. I think that there's a good product there when you see teams like Dundee United, Motherwell, St Mirren, Kilmarnock with good squads. The big two showed you how competitive it is. The Edinburgh sides, Hearts and Hibs, sitting 11th and 12th. So you just wonder if you had to pick out four teams from the Championship, is that going to diminish the sort of the quality we've got.
Again, I think it's this. People have got opinions, and that's a lot of this is so subjective, and it feels like there's a long way to go to get everybody to agree on stuff like this, doesn't it? And I wonder what are your own experiences, Ross. Share as much or as little as you're willing to hear. I don't want to make you talk about it. I think you've got a son who plays and plays youth football in England. And what's your kind of experiences of the way that works currently, and how different is it to when you came through?
I think to go on my own personal experience when I was growing up, like I said, I was quite lucky that there was an under 21 rule, so I was on the bench a lot. I probably, probably half of the games that I was on the bench for, I probably didn't deserve to be on the bench. So I think me looking at it, that's why I like that one. If you're good enough, you're old enough, you've got to earn the right to get there. You can't just be placed there. But in terms of the way, England's different, because if you're talking about money in the Scottish game, then, Crystal Palace, for talking sake, I think when we were at Rangers, they built Murray Park for about £8 million, full training ground. That's where the first team are. Well, Crystal Palace have just built one for the youth department. First team ain't even there, £14 million. So the money down there is just a completely different level. They wouldn't even bat an eyelid at a suggestion like this. I just can't see it happening. I think the most likely thing would be to come up with something for a League Cup, but what do you come up with? I think Gordon said earlier, reserve league, going back to that. I just see it for what it is.
Did just you just, you're mentioning building of Murray Park as it was at the time, did you just miss the Blue Heaven era, or were you on that TV? Do you remember that
I
TV
think I got
show?
One scene.
Blue Heaven?
Did you?
No,
you're thinking something else you used to watch in the early 2000s. But in the early 2000s, before your Sunderland Till I Die and all that, there was a documentary called Blue Heaven about, it was like Chris Burke, Charlie Adam, and guys like Ross coming through at Rangers. Do you not remember it?
No,
it was fascinating.
They followed them around for a few months, or maybe even a season
or
something.
So
were you
just the year kind of...
I got a couple of scenes in it. I think I'm 3 or 4 years younger than Burke, so...
if that happened to me in my career, mate, I'd have been sacked the following month. Let me tell you, somebody following me around.
Let's leave that there, if you don't mind.
Oh, here he comes.
Thank you for the call, though. It was a fair point, well raised. 0141 951 1025. Rangers beat Aberdeen in the first of the Masters games there. It's interesting, let's call it that. And we're looking for Mark Wilson's debut. We'll get it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Ross McCormack are here, and the real show has started. Oh, the Mark Wilson derby is at the Masters. Remember, he played for Celtic last year. He got kicked out their team, transferred to Dundee United, and the teams are meeting right now, and Dundee United have taken the lead. Danny Swanson penalty. Mark Wilson's touched the ball once, so that's fine.
He took a corner.
It was a good touch, so we'll see how he gets on. It was Kelvin Wilson upending Craig Conway for the penalty. Mark Wilson just
jogging
safe
about
currently. Our other colleague Simon Donnelly is on, and they've spelt his name wrong on the back of his strip.
No.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Mark's partner Leanne got in touch to tell me this. She's obviously up there watching our man in action. And she sent me a picture. Simon came in here in his shorts last night. He had been at the physio getting his calf rubbed. He was so worried about his fitness, and he's gone up there and they've given him 1-0 in Donnelly on the back of
Wilson's
his strip.
Just run the bit. He's not, honestly, since that one touch, he's not kicked the ball. Look, he just runs a bit.
Since when United got their penalty, did you think he might take it?
Would you give him the responsibility?
You're forgetting this guy scored a penalty for Dundee United in Henrik Larsson's last game for Celtic, remember?
Look, that touch.
Or one of them anyway.
That was a good touch.
That
actually
was a good touch.
You got to give him that.
Yeah, good touch. I'll tell you what, if Dundee United can keep him out the build up, they've got a very good chance.
He's overlapping. What's happened to you? Oh, they've got mad rules in this, do they not? You don't need to keep, I think,
a player up top,
the opposite half or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell you what, Big Charlie just looks the same as when he played, doesn't he?
He's fit. See, when he was talking in the clip there about the sixes, I have to say, I don't really play. It was a while ago last time I did. His legs, like he can touch both sides of the five-a-side pitch with his opposite feet. Any time you think you pass the ball by him, his Inspector Gadget legs just come out.
He's got a dream of a left foot, hasn't he, Charlie?
We played a game last season with a team called Doncaster City.
Oh, he came on here and told us about it.
Yeah, I know, he slaughtered me.
1-1.
Is that Big Charlie that scored?
Yeah, Big Charlie's just...
That's right, he slaughtered you for that, didn't he?
Aye, but you know what he did do? I don't know if he's told the story. He phoned up the Doncaster City manager.
Uh-huh. Tell
and
us
he was
from
like, why did you take Roscoe off at 60 minutes and that? And he's like, the manager said... I would have took him off at half time if I could have.
Was he pretending to be you?
Yeah. He's like, why did you take me off? And he's like, oh, it was an order from above.
He was panicking. But it was Charlie rather than you. That does sum him up, I have to say. Dundee United 1, Celtic 1. Look at me with the big scoreline updates, Gordon. Is it a Saturday afternoon?
Probably everybody's glued to their TVs.
But we're just having a bit
of
fun.
Oh, there's a goal.
It was him. No, I thought it was. Nah, it's Swanson.
No, he's not getting that in his locker.
I saw him cutting from the right and Ben went in the corner. Surely not.
He's running over celebrating.
Do you know what's really annoying me here? No offence to the organisers. What colour should Dundee United be wearing at the Masters?
Yeah.
They're in a white strip playing Celtic, who are in green and white hoops, funnily enough. Surely Dundee United, what is it, the kit supplier can't get orange or tangerine as it would be?
They can't spell names.
Maybe they're thinking about a kit clash with Aberdeen or something. I don't know.
It can't be worse than this. I mean, granted, I am slightly colourblind, so it's giving me real issues here.
I've got to ask a question, right? We're giving Wilson a bit. Where is Sid?
Oh, he's not playing. He's on the bench.
Did he not start?
I don't think so.
That calf rub last night couldn't help.
I know.
Maybe he's just really not involved.
It's an envelope city. That's what they're up there
Sid's
for.
Sid's a man in approaching his 50s. I think he's starting to. He just wants to play a wee cameo role. Is that Petrov on for Celtic as well?
Yeah, what a player he was.
What if Rangers asked you to be the manager next year? Would you go?
Nah, mate.
Envelope City, you just said you'd be up there.
I probably would, yeah. if there's an earner in it, if there's a crust in it, I'll go anywhere.
The Wraith Rovers legends.
I don't care. I'll go anywhere if there's a crust.
Oh no, he's been dispossessed. nearly gave away a penalty, Wilson. He got robbed.
Oh, go.
He got absolutely robbed by his namesake, Kelvin. And Paul Gallagher's the Dundee United keeper.
I know, Kevin Wilson will be thinking, I'm no the worst Wilson on this pitch tonight.
I have to say though, I think you have to appreciate it's maybe hard to track down a goalie. Did Michael McGovern ever make any Celtic appearances? I'm not sure if he did. I know he was there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I only really remember him from Norwich. I think he was that, wasn't he?
Oh, that means you've scored past him. That's what that means. You must have scored against everybody down there.
I think my first goals for Cardiff when I went down actually was against Big Marshy.
Oh, was it?
Second game of the season, I think they beat him 3-0, scored 2. So.
Oh, is this a VAR check?
Oh, Rankin thought he'd scored there.
Cleared off the line.
I think it was Big Charlie. What a clearance from Big Long Legs.
I think that went in, I have to say.
No, the referee's not giving it.
No, I mean from...
Oh, from your point of view?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, it's delightful.
Who's that? Hooper?
Joe Ledley.
Beautiful goal.
What a nice touch that was. Do you remember Mark Wilson brought Joe Ledley to one of our Christmas nights out?
I certainly do.
Inexplicably.
Yeah.
And my word, getting stuck with him was quite the shift, wasn't it?
Yeah, getting stuck with the two of them was quite the shift, let me tell you.
I'm sure he's fine, but I just think he'd enjoyed his day out in Glasgow, and that was a... No, it wasn't good, was it?
Yeah, we were playing hide and seek.
The babysitting duties were...
the toilets were mobbed. Oh, that was it's your turn.
Oh, look at this. John Rankin's furious. He's saying it was well over the line. He's not happy. He wants a VAR check on it. I think he's right.
Yeah, well, I thought Big Charlie done brilliantly.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Are you giving him the goal there?
I am. Well, it's half time in the Big Masters game. Give us your final thoughts then on tomorrow, Scotland, Croatia at Hampden. What are you thinking?
I think we've certainly got the opportunity to go and get our first 3 points. I think we've got two good games coming up. They will be difficult, of course they will be. Packed house tomorrow night. I think all eyes will be on the team. McGinn's obviously available. He's got Henry back as well.
Go on, give us your 11. Run us right through it in your mind.
I'm going to stick with goalkeeper. I'm sticking with back four.
So that means Ralston,
Suter, Hanley, and Robertson.
Okay.
I think Gilmore will play. I think McLean will play. and I think he'll leave out Doak.
So McTominay, McGinn, Christie,
yeah, and I think he'll go with Shanklin. No, Shanklin, oh, Dykes. I would go with Shanklin. Go with Shanklin, but I think he'll go with Dykes.
What do you think he'll go with up top?
I think he'll go with Dykes, yeah. I'd like to see Shanklin play because I don't think Scotland are going to get many chances to score. And for me personally, if we were going to get one of the strikers into a position to score, I'd feel more comfortable with Shanklin getting the chances.
How do you look back on the appearances you made for Scotland, Ross? You kind of frustrated at times because you were doing a lot of good things in the Championship, and at a time that was, you know, a very common level of player for us to call up. You feel like could have had more caps?
Definitely, yeah. That's my only, you know, you always get asked all the time if you get any regrets. Yeah, yeah. I don't regret leaving clubs at certain times and what have you, but my regret is that I didn't get more.
Many caps did you get?
I think I got 12.
13.
13.
Yeah. 13.
Yeah,
two. I mean, I should take your word for it, but according to your Wikipedia, it was 13.
Yeah, so that's my only regret. I think I probably deserved a few more.
So when
caps.
Would
not,
that
not
be?
Not getting to 50 and stuff, but I mean,
when would that have been? What times did you think I'm doing enough here and they didn't come?
So there's probably three seasons in a row. My last season at Leeds and my two seasons at Fulham, where I was more or less like the top scorer in the league. I was finishing second in the Championship Player of the Year awards. One was to Danny Ings, one was to Bamford. And I think there was a lot of boys at Scotland who were playing in that league, the Championship, who were getting games. And I was thinking, well, surely my chance is going to come here. But it never really came. Listen, it is what it is. Managers like, you know, they like certain players. A bit like this manager here. He seems to favour Dykes no matter what Shanklin does. So that's just football.
Fair enough. What a goal that is. Has that gone in? Yeah, I think it has. It wasn't well snapped.
Mark, what? Just run the bit.
Is he trying to run
he's
across?
He's going off. I'm not, sure he's just getting
I honestly bit. Think he's trying to run across the goalkeeper's vision.
He runs in circles.
He's a decoy for Danny Swanson to curl one into the corner. Remarkable. Anyway.
He's a draft excluder in the free kicks.
Big night for Scotland. Tomorrow, I am actually going to be at Hampden, so you will be well looked after. It'll be interesting to hear what Hugh Keevans has got on his mind after a long week. I wonder if he's watching the Masters and running his rule over Mark Wilson and co out there. Thanks to Ross McCormick. It was nice to hear from Ross again. Thanks to Gordon DL as always. Biggest thanks goes to you for calling and for tweeting. Loads of you called tonight. Really busy. Much appreciated. And to those of you who just listen in silence, that's absolutely fine. Don't forget to keep liking and subscribing to the YouTube channel. If you want to watch us back on the live stream, you can. And don't forget to catch up on the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You've got so many options. Listen live, watch live, listen back, watch back. Whatever you fancy. Stay in touch and we will speak to you soon. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.